for your faith and your families was almost overwhelming. Nathan, I'd like for you to come and stand before me, and your wife and children to stand beside me. My son in the faith, I took joy in mentoring you as a young man, and today I take joy in blessing you as a godly father. Are you ready to make this commitment before God and your family?
Yes, I am.
Then I'd like for you to repeat after me. I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
To take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
That I will take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
I'll be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
And I will train him to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will train him to honor authority and to live responsibly.
I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy.
I will treat others with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family.
I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged.
I will walk in integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will seek to honor God, obey his word, and do his will.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now that each of you has committed to live by this resolution, I bless you in the name of the Lord. But I also have a warning for each of you. Now that you know what you are to do and have committed to accountable, let me also assure you that you may have confidence in this resolution and your resolve now, because as you stand here, there's no challenge, no controversy, and no conflict. But I can assure you that challenges will arise, conflicts will arise, and controversy will arise. It is at that moment that in order to live out this resolution, you will need courage, courage, courage.
Amen. To all of our dads, all our fathers, grandfathers, uncles, godfathers, mentors, we want to say happy Father's Day. Can we give a round of applause for all of our men here? Amen. This is very important. You know, Father's Day is a big day. And it's so funny. Mother's Day, you can't get a reservation. Father's Day, you probably can get your pick of restaurants that you want to go to. And usually the Father's Day cards are probably still, you can probably find a few good ones still on the shelves, all right? Because this, the fact of the matter is, you know, the Father's Day does not get as much pub as Mother's Day. And in our community, that's a big thing, too, because, you know, the statistics will tell us that over 70% of the young men, people born on black children, African-American children in this country, over 70% are born into a home without a dad. And that's an unfortunate thing. Some of us are here and said, listen, that we had that experience. That was our story, that I was born into a household. I was raised by my mom, and we praise God for our moms, and we praise God for all that they do, moms who've had to do mom and dad kind of things. But nothing can really take the place of the presence of a father. You know, moms can, they try to, we can compensate and do what is necessary, but it's always important that, you know, we praise God for those who are uncles or grandfathers or other men who kind of come to stand in the gap where dad wasn't there. And that's a challenge to us as men this morning, that we need to stand up in our community and be fathers to our children. But also, it's not just about our household to look out and see where there's another young man, young woman who does not have a father, where that I can come and step in the gap and fill in that gap. Amen? Especially as men of God. What does the Bible tell us? That what is true religion is to minister to who? The widow and to the fatherless, the orphan. So that with, that's what God is calling us as a church to do, calling us as men to do, to stand up and be fathers to our own children, and also to serve as father figures for so many others. And this time, I wanted to acknowledge my father. I want to say happy Father's Day to Pastor Mac. Amen. Amen. And as we were on our way here, and we were praying on our way to church, you know, I was just thinking that Pastor Mac, I've had the privilege of having him as my spiritual father and my biological father. Y'all have heard me say that before. But I'm just so grateful that there's so many of us in here who can say that you've been a father to them as well. All of us. And we are here because of the ministry that God has placed you and my mom. And we just thank you for being an example of a good father. Amen. And most of all, we're thankful. Are y'all thankful for your Heavenly Father today? Isn't he a good father? He's a good, good, good father. And he's an example. When my earthly father dropped the ball, I'm so glad that the Heavenly Father is there to be the example of what real love and unconditional love is all about. Amen? And today, when we talk about fatherhood, when we talk about, and this message today is not just to fathers, it's to men in general. And we gave it the title, Be Brave, How to Have Courage Under Fire. Because when you think of a man, the scripture talks about a man and men and Joshua to be strong and courageous. And he also tells us to show yourself a man. When you think about showing yourself a man, you think of courage. You think of strength. You know, just think about it. A lot of us, I tell our sons, I know DJ, he'll be out there playing sports. And if he starts to lose, I can see them tears well up in his eyes. I suck it up. Don't start that crying out here. Don't let nobody see you crying out on this field, on this court. When they see you crying, then they think you're weak and they're going to take advantage of you. How many of you have heard of that? I've been guilty of doing the same thing. Right? Because, listen, we think of men. We think of manhood. Be a man. Suck it up and be a man. We tell all the time at home, sometimes with my son or any of the boys, if they're whining and say, stop that. Oh, man, stop acting like a girl. My wife said, well, what does that mean? Right? So when we think of manhood, we think of strength and we think of courage. But today we got a lack of what true manhood is. And when we think of being a man, we think of being brave. I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen the movie 300. Anybody seen the movie 300? Let me tell you, that's, if you want to get yourself hyped up to do something, you go and watch 300. So I'm just let y'all know before this message, I watched some 300 clips. Amen. Because, you know, I love the one scene I love is when that dude from Persia comes in and he's talking to Ionidas. He's talking to the king and he says, listen, man, this certain thing, this is madness. And he says, this is Sparta. And he kicks the man and knocks him down into this bottomless pit. He was a soldier. He led 300 men against thousands and thousands of soldiers because he was brave and he had courage. And I'm here to tell you, fathers and men, if you want to walk with God today, 2019 and beyond, you're going to be brave. You're going to have courage. Because it's not easy. Walking with God, when you choose to make a decision to walk with God and follow after his ways, you're going directly against the current of this world. And you're going to have to be brave when it comes to raising your families. You're going to have to be brave on your jobs, because there's going to be a lot of times when you have to stand alone. And so getting ready for Father's Day, I just thought about, what can we find and pull from the scriptures as an example of bravery and courage. And there are three men, and there are three young men that we find in the scripture in Daniel chapter 3. It's one of my favorite passages, and I reference it often, Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bible or your phone or your tablet, you could turn to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to kind of jump through the passage a little bit. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to be dealing with the entire chapter of Daniel chapter 3. It's 30 verses, and we're going to read a little bit at a time. But what I'm going to just kind of give a little way of background
on Daniel chapter 3. Before we do that, can we pray together? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity for us to stand before you and proclaim your word. And I thank you for being a good father, for being a father, Lord God, that loves us unconditionally, that is patient, long-suffering with us, a father who runs after us relentlessly and pursues us, as we saw over the past month as we looked at the life of Jonah. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that, Lord, as we come to you, that you will teach us principles as men, as fathers, and as just as your children on what it means to really be brave, how to have courage under fire. Because the fact of the matter is, God, to walk with you, the world in which we live is becoming increasingly hostile to your way. And it's going to require men and women who have courage to take a stand. And I pray, Lord God, that we'll be those people, and in doing so, that we'll see people won to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, we're going to be looking at three Hebrew boys, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. VeggieTales calls them Rackshack and Benny. I don't know if y'all have grandchildren or children. I know my kids love Rackshack and Benny. DJ Dylan and Destin, they call themselves Rackshack and Benny when they were little. And you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys in Daniel chapter 3. Let's read the first few verses. I'm looking at verse 1. I'm reading from New Living Translation. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever the race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews, these Hebrews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. The decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Let's stop right there, and we're going to continue reading. Just to give a little background, the three Hebrew boys, actually four of them, Daniel was the other one, and Daniel's name had been changed to Belteshazzar. And what you'll find that Belteshazzar was the name of one of the pagan gods. All of them had different names. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Belteshazzar. And these three Hebrew boys were amongst some others of the Hebrews who were taken into exile in Babylon. The Hebrews had been rebelled against God, and now they were captive living in a strange land. Y'all heard the song in the scripture that says, how can we sing when we're in a strange land? They were in a strange land because of their rebellion, but these men had stood out. They had made a distinct, they were distinct even in the strange land, that they stood out, that even though they were in a strange place, they actually acquired positions of leadership. They became leaders in the world in which they were living. And I'm here to tell you, this is not in my message, that when you walk with God and when you follow after his ways, you'll be so distinct that you stand out in the world. These men stood out to the point, listen, they had such good lives, they looked so different that they had taken some of them and made them leaders in this strange land. That wasn't even their homeland. And what had happened, King Nebuchadnezzar got so full of himself that he made a gold statue that was 90 feet high. And the scriptures and the history will tell us the statue was probably just an image of himself. that he made a gold statue 90 feet high and he's requiring everybody in the land to bow down to worship at it whenever the music played. And I'm here to tell you today in 2019, there are so many things that, listen, the devil is trying to get us to bow down at the feet of so many different idols that are not God. And you got to make a choice this morning. And what happened is these three Hebrew boys were standing in, they were standing there with everybody else. They heard the decree that, listen, when the music plays, everybody in the land must bow before this statue. And what happened, the music played and everybody bowed down. But if you look across the land, everybody is falling down except there are three guys that chose not to. They stood out. And in order to stand out, listen, and he said, if you don't bow down, there are consequences to not bowing down. The consequence to not bowing down is you'll be thrown into a furnace of fire. I don't know about y'all, but listen, I can't stand up when it gets too hot outside. But they told these guys, listen, they told everybody, either you bow or you die. Either you bow before this idol or you're going to burn. And you're going to die a horrible death. Can you imagine the pain of being thrown into a fire? And in order for these guys to stand, they had to have a level of courage that was above and beyond themselves. And this morning, if you're going to take a stand for God in this world and make an impact, you're going to have to be brave. I want you to say, be brave. Because I'm here to tell you, the world is looking for some authentic faith. The world is looking for people with authentic faith. And one of the reasons why people are not, I said it before, the people aren't running from Christ as much as they're running from church and they're running from Christians. Because we're not showing authentic faith and we're not willing to stand by faith no matter what the world says and on principles. And I'm going to give you just a few principles this morning on how to be brave. Brave. B-R-A-V-E. B-R-A-V-E. In order, dads, men, and ladies, anybody, in order for you to have courage under fire, you're going to have to have courage to raise your children. You're going to have courage to raise your children. You got to make some decisions that are not popular with the culture. And in order for you to do that, you got to be brave. The first letter in brave means that you must be sure about who you are and whose you are. You must be sure about who you are and whose you are. I want you to look at their names. If you could turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, we'll find out, it says their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. But if you look in Daniel chapter 1, you'll find out what their real names were. It says Daniel 1 verses 6 and verse 7, it says Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. Why is that significant? Because if you look at Shadrach, his real name was Hananiah. They changed his name to Shadrach, which honored one of the pagan gods. But his real name was Hananiah, and Hananiah means that God is gracious. God is gracious. Then Meshach, his real name was Mishael, which means who is like God. And Abednego, his real name was Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. See, in order for you to take a stand in this world, you got to be sure about who you are and whose you are. What happened when they got into a new land, they renamed these men and they named them after pagan gods. And I'm here to tell you, you got to understand who you are in Christ. You got to understand who you are in God, no matter what kind of title or label the world tries to put on you. See, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, those were their real names, and their names honored the real God. And when you understand who you are and whose you are, it ought to affect your behavior. When you understand whose name is on you, it ought to affect some of the things that you do, some of the decisions that you make. You know, when I recognize that my last name is McKinney, there's certain things that I don't do. I take pride in being the son of Lorenzo McKinney. I take pride in being the grandson of George Dallas McKinney. That name, I take pride in looking at the history of my aunts and my uncles and my grandparents. I'm happy to wear that name, McKinney. I told this story a long time ago. I was in San Diego, and I was leaving the airport in San Diego, and the guy was checking my bag, and he said, "Your name is McKinney. Do you know anybody? You familiar with Bishop George McKinney?" I said, "Yeah, that's my uncle." He said, "Man, that's a great man." You know how good that made you feel? To know that name is on you. So listen, I got to be careful how I act. My father always tells me, as the next to the youngest of 12, 13 children, when he went off to college, all of his brothers had already been there. So they said, "Listen, you got a real hard row to toe, because you got a legacy that you got to keep up with." And I say that to help us understand, church, do we really, really take into account whose name is on you? When you recognize that the God of the universe is your Father, and when I say that I'm a Christian, that I'm a Christ follower, that I ought to look like Christ, and when people look at me, they associate me with Him. And if I don't look like Him, then I've given Him a bad name. In order for you to be brave in this world, in order for you to be brave and stand with courage, fathers, you got to be sure about who you are. You got to make your calling and election sure. 1 Peter chapter 2, one of my favorite passages, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." If you want to be brave, you got to be sure of who you are and whose you are. It's one of the saddest things for me to see when I see people all over the world, all over this country, all over this area, and even to see some of us say that we name Christ. But we say we name Christ, but we don't look like Him. We don't identify with Him in our behavior. And sometimes we take this grace thing for granted. We just finished talking about God's love, and we just finished talking about His unconditional love and His relentless love and how gracious God is. He is, but He also is a God who says, "I will not always strive with you." You got to be sure of who you are and whose you are. If you want to be brave, you got to understand why you're here. We had a wonderful men's breakfast yesterday, and we started talking about, accountability and being closer and men really being transparent and dealing with some of the sin in our lives. And Brother Leon Fuller said, put a good, powerful point on it. He said, "Listen, when you don't understand your purpose, if you don't understand why you're here, then certain behaviors don't seem like they're a problem." So when I said, if I got a stronghold, if I got a problem with lying, if I got a problem with immorality, and I don't understand I got a purpose, then maybe I don't look at my immorality as a problem. When I understand whose name is on me, meaning he's saying when you have a purpose, meaning when you understand why you're here, then that requires movement. And there's certain sin in my life that I know that are keeping me from moving. But if I don't understand why I'm here and whose I am, who I am and whose I am, then I ain't moving nowhere. So the sin in my life ain't that big of a deal, because I'm just a Christian just standing still. But when I understand His name is on me, and I'm sure about who I am and whose I am, there's certain things in my life that I got to say, "God, I got to let that stuff go." In order for you to be brave, you must be certain about who you are and whose you are. That's number one. But the next thing, in order for you to be brave, you got to remember God's word and refuse to compromise. You got to remember God's word and refuse to compromise. Look at verse 12 of Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had given the decree that everybody must bow. They played the music. Everybody was supposed to bow. Everybody bowed. Then the astrologers looked out and said, "These guys ain't bowing." So they came and they snitched on them. Look at verse 12. So, "But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. I mean, just completely disregard you. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." What you got to do in order for you to be brave, you got to remember God's word and refuse to compromise. What do I mean by that? They understand. They understood what the law. They understood that if you go back to Exodus and the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Look at the Ten Commandments. You go back to Exodus 20. You shall not make any graven images or likenesses. That's what the word said. They knew it. That's what the law said. And so these men, yeah, we're in a strange land, but we know, listen, we know who we are and we know whose we are and we know what he said. And because he said it, we can't compromise. And we know who he is. We know, listen, you put a name on us to honor these pagan gods, but we know we honor the one true God. And what he says goes. So in order for you to be brave, you got to remember the word. And then when you remember it, you got to refuse to compromise. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You got to remember the word and refuse to compromise. You know, it's hard to remember something that you haven't read. So, in order for you to be brave, you got to remember the word, but in order for you to remember the word, you got to read the word. You got to understand the instruction manual. You know, on Friday night, I went with Shep. Shep had an opportunity to speak at a Largo Community Church to a group of young people. There's a group of teenagers there, and he said, y'all just ask me any question, any question. And one young lady says, well, how do you be consistent, like, with reading the Bible? Right? Just reading the Bible every day. And he said, listen, well, how many of y'all are football players in here? Some of them were football players. And he said, listen, if you want to play football, you got to read the playbook. If you don't read the playbook, you go out there without reading the playbook, you're a liability. You can't run the play if you don't know the plays. And you cannot submit to God's word and his will if you don't know what he says. Fathers, if we're going to lead our homes, we got to be men of the book. We got to get into this word and we got to read it, but it can't be just an academic exercise. We got to read it. Like he said, study this book of instruction continually. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. And we ought to observe everything in it. That's no compromise. Church, we are known for compromise. These three guys said, this is such a big deal to me, we're willing to die for it. We're in a day of Christians who say, it don't take all that. It don't take all that. That's not a big of a deal. We're always looking for a loophole so that I can put my preference before his plans, like we talked about last week. But bravery says, I'm not trying to, listen, it ain't about my plans, it's your plans. Bravery says, God, I remember what your word says, and I refuse to compromise. My question to you, are you as a man, are you saying, listen, no matter, listen, you cannot compromise even when your wife is trying to get you to compromise. If God has revealed it to you in his word, listen, the Bible has called, she's an influencer. Your wife is an influencer. Listen, God has called us to be the head, but she's the neck, right? That turns the head. And we know what Eve influenced Adam, but Adam knew what God said, but he compromised. And man, if you're going to be the leader that God has called you to be, you got to be willing to take the lumps. You know, we always talk about the statement, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But if what makes mama happy goes against his word, then mama just going to have an attitude. See, because sometimes I know as a man, I don't want to deal with that attitude. Anybody with me? Am I by myself? Brothers, y'all know what that attitude looked like. Like, psh, forget it. All right, we're going to do it. In the back of your mind, you know this is not a good decision. As a man of God, it requires you to be brave. Her lip might be poked out. She might get upset. She might try to threaten you with not giving you none. But you know what? Guess what? God said this, and this is the way it's going to be. Refuse to compromise. And you can stand and look, you don't have to be hard about it. Say, listen, baby, listen, I know how you feel, but you got to trust me on this. I believe that God, listen, I believe this is what he's telling us to do in our work. We can't go with our feelings. You got to kind of be gentle with it, but you cannot compromise. These three brothers said, listen, we are willing to stand in the face of fire. But y'all, we moving around with just what somebody gonna say about me. Somebody will, what somebody thinks about me will cause me to compromise. These cats say, listen, we're willing to die. I told y'all a few weeks ago, Anika had a school here from China. The lady said, the woman said that if the government recognizes what kind of school we're running, she was here with the teachers, some of the students. She said, if they recognize what kind of school we're running, the students will be put, the parents will be put in prison, and we will be removed from the country. See, that's a different kind of faith right there. They have to teach. Listen, your kids, when they go to school, look, some of our kids go to Christian school, and that's great. Here we have Christian school. If you want to have Christian school there, they got to teach the kids escape plans and how to hide stuff and get stuff out of the way when the authorities come. That's a different kind of level of faith. When they have in church, they have church, they have to train their member. We're talking about discipleship. Part of their discipleship process is teaching people how to escape from the authorities and how to fold up the church quick so that none of us gets locked up or executed. That's part of your discipleship training. We're just trying to teach y'all how to read, get up and read the Bible every morning. And we fighting on that. Amen. Crickets on that. There will be no shouting on this. Amen. Amen. I got to encourage myself. Remember the word and refuse to compromise. No wonder the church is declining. No wonder nobody's coming. And then you got countries where things like that are happening. The church is growing because they know people are serious. Here we just playing. Bravery says, listen, I'm going to remember the word and refuse to compromise. Just think about it. Man, what if we get in the practice of being brave right here in the United States, where today the only thing I got to worry about is somebody not liking me or somebody looking at me funny, somebody saying I'm weird. That's all. I mean, what's the biggest consequence? I'm not even looking at death. I'm not looking at death, not yet. Some places, they're willing to stand. I mean, pastors sit there. We heard the story the other day of a pastor. He sat there and they watched him cut off the heads of all of his sons. Why? For saying that we proclaim Christ. And not one of his sons said, no, not me. He didn't say, no, not me. They stood there and took it. What are we doing? We got to remember the word and refuse to compromise. That's bravery. I'm going to be honest, when I look at that, it's like, Lord, am I there yet? God, give me that kind of faith to be willing to take a stand. Listen, he said, look, they refuse to compromise. And then look at verse 13. So they remember God's word and refuse to compromise. They knew God said, you shall have no other gods before me. So this is not an option for us. Church, there should be some things, men, there should be some things that are just not an option for me. It's not an option for me because his name is on me. I belong to him. And his word says this. There's certain things that I just don't even play with. Because his plans are more important than my preferences. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. He got an attitude. He ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. He says, this is Nebuchadnezzar saying, look, maybe they didn't understand y'all. See, the leaders came and told them to bow, and they said, man, get up out of my face. We ain't doing that. We serve the one true king. And he said, maybe if they stand before me, maybe they'll understand. Bring them before me. And he got an attitude. He got all upset. And then they were brought into Nebuchadnezzar. He said to them, is it true, guys, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. You can bow down and worship the statue I made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But this time, if you refuse, you're going to be thrown immediately into the furnace. And then what God will able to save you then? Look at what they said. Look at the no compromise. I love it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, Nebuchadnezzar, listen, you got to do whatever you need to do. We don't even need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. They still, no compromise. The threats don't matter. He's more important. Seek first his kingdom. As a man, if the father, you, in order for you to be brave, you got to know his word, refuse to compromise. But listen, the more I look at this, I can see one of the things that helped them to do this is the next letter is A. I said the first thing, you got to be sure about who you are and whose you are. You got to remember God's word and refuse to compromise. But letter three, you got to align yourself with the right people. See, it's a whole lot easier to stand when you ain't standing by yourself. It was three of them, right? Actually, it was four of them. It was Daniel, it was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belteshazzar. You look back in chapter one, these three same dudes, they were faced with another challenge. They didn't take the king's meat. They didn't take the king's food. Said, listen, this is what we're going to eat. And he said, they look better than everybody else. It's something about standing with each other that helps you go further. Men of God, and we talked about this yesterday, in order for you to be brave and courageous, you got to align yourself with the right people. Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite scriptures, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12, says two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Listen, what I'm telling you is this. You gotta connect yourself with people who are like-minded. Notice I said align yourself not with just people. You don't need to align yourself with just men. You gotta align yourself with the right men. And the right man is a godly man. If we're talking ladies, you gotta align yourself with the right ladies. It is a godly woman. If you want to walk with God, you got to align yourself with godly people. You'll never be brave if you spend most of your time with people who don't know the Lord. Don't get me wrong. He wants us in that mix so that we can be a light. But the problem is, but most of our time is spent with them, and it's not spent influencing them. We're being influenced by them. You got to align yourself with the right people. Proverbs 27 said, listen, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Who's sharpening you? Who do you have in your life that's holding you accountable? And see, men, we don't like to, you know, ladies, that's one of the things that I know they were talking about the young adult Bible study, and I praise God Friday night. Brother Johnny and Sister Marcia opened up their home for young adults on Friday night for Bible study. And one of the things they shared with me is very few brothers that come. Brothers don't, we praise God. It's a couple I know, a Shep and Jeremiah come, but outside of that, there's a few guys that come. And I was sharing that with one of the young men. We're like trying to get some more of the young men coming out. But he said, you know, guys, they have a hard time coming and trying to be open. Ladies, we're going to come and share. And share, and y'all will cry together. But brothers, you gotta get up. It take a minute to get there. We'll get together and we'll talk about the game. We talked about this yesterday. We'll talk about fishing, bowling. We'll talk about all that. We'll get all around the issue. But it's gonna be hard. It's like, look, what's going on with you and your wife? One last time, you asked the brother, what you been watching on TV? Let me check your search history. When do we do that? We don't do that. And when somebody does it, do you know what we do? You're going to stop seeing that, brother. We run from accountability. But what happens is you got to align yourself with a man, with men. He said, listen, they had brothers on either side of them that said, I could just imagine. I don't know about y'all, but when the man said, when I'm looking at that fiery furnace, in my mind, I'm like, I know I ain't supposed to bow, but Lord have mercy, that thing look hot. I don't know about you, but I could imagine them. Can you imagine them talking to each other? Bro, you could do it. God has got us. Remember what his word said. Because it didn't say they weren't scared. Yes, the fear is there. But listen, we encourage each other. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. But if I'm surrounding myself with people everybody's bowing down, guess what? They're going to pull me down with them. If I'm hooked up with men who are bowing, it's going to be hard for me to hold them up. But if I'm standing next to some brothers who are standing, when I'm ready to fall, brother, stand up. Remember who you are and whose you are. Remember what his word says. Are you aligning yourself with the right people? And some of us align ourselves with the wrong people. Some of us try to just align ourselves with ourselves. We just say, look, I'm just good. I'm be good. It's just me over here. We isolate ourselves. Man, we cannot run from accountability and transparency in order for God to do some of the healing that he needs to do. We got to be willing to just come clean before God and become clean before one another and try to help each other. Because the fact of the matter is all of us are struggling with the same thing. You got to align yourself with people who remember the word of God and who will refuse to compromise. They talk about, there's a principle that I learned this in business called the circle of five. You look at the circle of five. If you look at the five people closest to you, you all probably have the same income. Your marriages are probably similar. Your jobs are probably similar. You all do some of the same things for entertainment. That's the circle of five. Who's in your circle of five? Your circle of five include men like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, men like Daniel. Is that the people in your circle of five? That's your five quotes. That doesn't say you didn't have other acquaintances, but you got to make sure you're hooked up with people who are doing what God would call you to do. Amen? That's if you want to be brave, if you want to have courage under fire, you can't. It's something about anybody knows when you train or when you exercise. I know Charles, some of y'all don't know that Charles has been doing MMA and he trains. Charles trains. You got to have folks with you training. What folks that are going to push you training. Because if they're not going to push you, whenever I'm ready to give up, I have somebody next to me that can help pull me along. Look at that verse in Ecclesiastes. I want to continue to read the next part of that verse. It says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Isn't it awesome? I praise God for men of God who will ask me, look, what's going on? We talked about it yesterday. Sometimes Dave will see an expression on my face, or I can see an expression on your face. It's like, you good? Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little irritated, but I'm good. He already knows that you got to come clean. Men, if we're going to be brave, if we're going to be courageous, and this principle applies to all of us, you got to be sure of who you are and whose you are. You got to remember God's word and refuse to compromise, and you got to make the choice to align yourself with the right people. My question to you also today is, who are some people you got to remove from your circle? God might be calling you today to say, you know what? I love you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance. There might be some men, there might be some ladies in your circle that are not pushing you on, spurring you on to love and good works. Might be some folks that you need to change the nature, stop being their friend, but we might need to change the nature of this relationship. Moving from us being buddy-buddy to me being evangelistic and me trying to win you for the kingdom. Amen? The next letter in brave is V. In order for you to be brave, you got to have a vision of victory. You got to have a vision of victory. Look at the text, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16 to 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Look at the confidence. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. In order for you to be brave, you got to have a vision of your victory. They said, listen, they already saw their deliverance. It said in the passage, he said, look, we're not going to bow because the God whom we save is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. In order for you to be brave, you got to recognize, you got to see the victory already. You got to understand what the victory is. And I love it. The victory was not them just being delivered from the flames. Victory was in their obedience. Because what did they say? He will deliver us from the fire, oh, your majesty. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. So victory for us was knowing that we had enough faith to walk in obedience to what he called us to do, no matter what the consequences are. That's your victory. It ain't in, oh, my goodness, I took a stand for God and on my job, and it doesn't mean you ain't going to lose your job. You might lose the job. But the victory is, God, I took a stand and I lost the job. I don't have the job, but I did not bow the knee. The victory is, listen, I walked in faith and obedience to you, and without the job, I was willing to trust you to provide for me before I even see it. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, the scripture points it out. It said, verse 3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What is the victory? Our faith. The victory is the faith. The victory isn't all the other stuff, all the material things. The victory is even our faith, that we were willing to stand. At the end it says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You got to visualize victory. In order for you to be brave, you got to understand, you got to see just like the Hebrew boys did, say, our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, he's still sovereign. Even if we burn in these flames, we're still victorious. We're victorious. Why? Because we were willing to stand on his word and obey his word. I'm willing, listen, you got to believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm willing to sacrifice everything else, God. I'm willing to lay it all, listen, present it all as a living sacrifice to honor you and trust it. And the glory and the victory is in walking in obedience. The victory is in being in the center of his will. That's what it cries bravery. See, a lot of time we are, as men, we're solution oriented. We talked about that yesterday. A lot of time we said, one of the things we said in our groups was, why don't men share more? And one of the brothers said, well, men may not share because if I can't get an assurance of what the answer is going to be, what the solution is going to be to this, then why do I waste my time sharing my stuff if I don't know you have a solution for my problem? And so, and a lot of time we're solution oriented. We want, okay, if I take a stand, then what do I get? What you got is being obedient. Listen, to know that God, the applause of heaven is all I need to say that, Lord, I was willing to suffer affliction like Moses with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. God, I brought you honor and glory. And what the victory is, that his name, when you do that, his name is glorified. You got to see that thing. Stop looking. We're always looking for some kind of carrot at the end. If I stand for God and I'm brave, then guess what? He's going to bless me and all of this. So you might stand for God and be brave and you burn up. If you look in Hebrews in the Hall of Faith, it gives all the list of the people in the Hall of Faith and it lists them all. And it says there's others and some of them didn't come out so good. Some of them were beaten. Some of them lost their life, but they're still listed in the Hall of Faith. And God is listen, he is honoring them for their faith, even though they didn't get the carrot at the end of the rainbow, the bucket of gold at the end of the rainbow. What the treasure is, Jesus is the treasure. Visualize victory. You know, we're in an age and a time where prosperity gospel is very prevalent. And y'all know I've said it all the time. The church is nothing more than going to a personal development conference. We live in a time as with itching ears. People want to hear what's going to make them healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's going to give me some information that's going to help me have good children and make sure that they go to college and they get good jobs and that I have plenty of money in the bank and I can be secure and how I can have a good life here on this earth. That's what people are looking for. And guess what? The church said that's what people are looking for. And in order to increase our numbers, then that's what we'll give them. And then we'll say that with the guys that say, well, if we get them in, then we'll give them the gospel. But sometimes we don't ever get to the gospel. But we got to understand that when you've come to follow Jesus, when a man comes to Christ, he's bidding you take up your cross and follow me. He can make you, when you obey his principles, you can be healthy, you can gain wealth, you can get wisdom, but you can also get your head cut off. He didn't come to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. His principles, there's life in those principles, but he came, listen, he came to give you more abundant life. He came to give you deliverance from your sins. And in order for you to experience any of that other stuff, you're going to have to die first. And you got to visualize victory as more than just some kind of material possession or some kind of benefit for yourself. Stop walking for God, living for God selfishly. We need to stop running after God for what we can get out of him. And just worship him for who he is. God is looking for some brave men. You got to be sure of who you are and whose you are. You got to remember his word. You got to refuse to compromise. You got to align yourself with the right people. You got to visualize victory and recognize victory is all tied up in the obedience. That's what he said right in 1 John. What did he say right here? In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. That's victory. You obey obedience. And the final thing that you got to do is the letter E, expect God to be with you every step of the way. Let's look at the towards the end of the passage. Let's look here. Verse 19. It says, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Look at verse 24. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yeah, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. Verse 25. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in fire, unharmed. And the 4th looks like a god." And the Aramaic said, "Looks like a son of the gods." What you got to understand is when you choose to make a stand, when you recognize who you are and whose you are, you refuse to compromise. You align yourself with the right people. You see your victory. You got to understand at the end of it, everybody might not say, "Oh, cool." And the victories might not look like you expect. You might have to go into the fire. When you stand for God, there are times when you are going to go into the fire. That's just point blank. If he went through it, if our Savior went through it, then what you think going to happen to us? There are going to be times when you stand for him, and it may not turn out all rosy and beautiful. It's going to get hot sometime. But what you got to understand, when you're willing to walk by faith and to stand for him, when you go into the fire, you need to go into it expecting him to be with you the whole time. You expect him. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look, hold up, didn't we throw in 3 dudes?" "Yeah, we threw in 3. He said, "Then there's 4. Look, y'all, come on, look in there. There's 4 of them, and 1 of them look like one of the gods." What we see here is what we call a pre-incarnate picture of Christ. Christ, a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. He threw in 3, but 4 were, they saw 4. And he's here to tell you that he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. He will never leave you nor forsake you, his word says. Look in the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, last scripture I have for you, says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. And he will neither fail you nor abandon you." I love it. He said, "Look, I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to walk beside you. And in the middle of it, I'm never going to leave you." Sometimes you're going to go in the fire. But when you're in the fire, guess what? You expect him to be with you the whole time. Just reminds me of Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And then when God gave him Isaac, he was all excited. He gave him Isaac, and then he said, I want you to take what I promise you and then give it up and kill it. Sometimes God is going to cause you to go into a fire. Sometimes God is going to put you in rough situations, and he's watching to see, were you willing to stand for me? Are you willing to trust me? And Abraham said, listen, God, he didn't even flinch, took what God promised him and said, I'm going to lay it on the altar, knowing that God, maybe you're going to raise him back up. He expected God to do something. Do you expect God to show up in your rough times? If you want to be brave, in order for you to be brave, in order for you to expect him, you got to understand the first point. You got to be sure about who you are. When you know you're a child of the Most High God, when you know who you are, when I know whose name is on me and he promised never to leave me, I can stand in the face of fire and to know he's going to show up. Not that I'm not going to go in. I may go in, but I will keep you even in the midst of the flames. If you want to be brave, you got to be sure about who you are. You got to make your calling and election sure. You got to make sure who you are. You got to remember his word. If you want to stand, you got to remember his word. And if you want to remember it, you got to read it. And once you read it, you got to refuse to compromise. Brothers, you got to align yourself with some men that can help you stand when it gets hot, when it gets tempting to fall. You got to align yourself with some folks who can help you stand. You got to visualize that victory and understand, this is my victory, even my faith. If I don't come out of this alive, if I have to go into the fire, I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. See, because if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, that's the victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? It's all swallowed up in victory. As a child of the Most High God, you can't kill me. I'm already victorious. It ain't in the stuff that you give me. It's in the one who saved me. That's my victory. And I can see that. When you see that and you understand purpose now, then I can stand here and whatever it is, Nebuchadnezzar, light the match. Do what you got to do. But I know when I go in the flame, guess what? I know he's with me. And he'll never leave me alone. Because he said he's not a man that he lie, or the son of man that he change his mind. If I make a promise, I'm going to hold to it. He's a promise-keeping God. In the world and the devil, he tries to threaten you with the flames. Because, that's the nature of torture. You threaten people with pain. Because our natural instinct is to avoid pain and run to pleasure. It's the fight or flight thing. We naturally, when I say something that is painful, I don't want to go through it. But when I understand who's with me, that I don't have to go through this alone. I think about Stephen in the scripture. Stephen stood there before his accusers, and he gave a history, the most succinct and clear. Man, he gave the history of Israel so quick, and he gave that word and gospel so quick, and the people got angry, and he stood there. And then it said, listen, his face started to glow. Sometimes the power doesn't show up. We got to stand. And then when he sees me being standing, guess what? He gives it's more grace. He gives more grace, more power, more ability to stand. The more I stand, the more I can stand. That's why the scripture says, and having done all to stand, keep standing. Three Hebrew boys went into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar, and when they went in, I could hear. You can hear. I told you they visualized victory. They said, look, Nebuchadnezzar, he can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not bowing. They saw it. They expected God to be with them. And then verse 25, it says, the fourth looks like Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came closer to the fire. Verse 26, we almost done. He came closer to the fire as he could and shouted, hey, bro, y'all good in there? He said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So they came out, stepped out of the fire, and then the officers, officials, and advisors around them and saw that the fire had not touched them, not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. When you walk with God, do you know you won't even look like what you've been through? When you walk with him and you stay close to him and people have seen you go, they saw you go in the fire. They know you went in, but when you trust him, he'll bring you out and you won't even look like what you've been through. Said the hair wasn't burned, the clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And when they saw that, what does it say? Then Nebuchadnezzar says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I started this whole thing out trying to get people to bow down to an idol, but because three men were willing to refuse to compromise, they stood their ground and were brave, not in their own strength, but in his strength. Who gets glory? Not Nebuchadnezzar's idol, but the King of Glory. The Lord God who is strong and mighty, everybody. Nebuchadnezzar said, now everybody got to worship that God right there. This idol we put up, that I put up to myself, when everybody sees you stand, you go through it and come out of it looking just as good as you did when you went in or better. God gets the glory. But what the devil want to do is keep you afraid. He want to keep you afraid. He wants to look, if you stand for God, you're going to lose. It's too painful. So what do? You just keep bowing. The world keep playing the song. You keep bowing down to the idol. Bowing down to the idol of alcohol. Bowing down to the idol of drugs. Bowing down to the idol of sex. Bowing down to the idol of whatever it is, money, materialism. We just bowing. And God is looking for some folks to say, we're not bowing. And we're ready to face the fire. And having faced the fire, we're going to go in expecting him to be with us and know he'll never fail me. You can't lose. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that when you stand for God, you'll never lose? Can we stand together? When you stand for God, you'll never lose. I didn't say that it won't get uncomfortable. I didn't say that it won't. And guess what? At first, it might look like you're losing. Do you know it looked like they lost to everybody around? They went in the fire. They lost. And then after what? Just wait a while. Just wait. They that wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. Just wait on him. Might get a little hot. Just wait on him. He's an eternal God. He doesn't operate on my timetable. You might be here and say, Pastor, I've been waiting. Still not getting better. Listen, your time and his time are not the same. He sits outside of time. He honors his word. You got to stand. Fathers, God is looking for some brave men. Some men who are sure of who they are and whose they are. Who know the word of God and will refuse to compromise. Who have aligned themselves with the right people. Who visualize victory. And expect God to be with them every step of the way. And when the world sees that in the church, what happens in the world? If the Son of Man is lifted up, he draws all men to himself. When the world sees men like that, when they see women like that, they become like Nebuchadnezzar. It's like, oh, time out. We worshiping that one. We need to see folks won to the kingdom. But they need to see some brave men and women of God be willing to take a stand and have courage under fire. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to keep it simple this morning. First thing I said is, in order for you to stand and have courage, you got to be sure about who you are and whose you are. This is the question of identity. My question today is about your identity. Do you belong to God? Are you his child? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life? The scripture I read in 1 John says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who's your father today? Have you made the decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? If you haven't done that today, listen, it's very simple to make that decision. You just got to admit that you haven't made the decision. Admit to God and say, God, listen, I'm a sinner separated from you. To be a sinner just simply means, God, I fall short. I've disobeyed you. All of us are sinners. We're born in sin. You got to admit to God where you are. You got to admit, God, I've never made the decision to ask you to be Lord of my life, and currently I'm still in my sins. And you must believe that God made a solution for your sin, and that solution is Jesus Christ. You must believe that God loved you so much that he sent his son. He sent the gift of himself. He became man and walked on this earth so that he could qualify to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. The word of God says that without blood being shed, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And the only way all of your sins can be forgiven is there has to be a blood sacrifice, perfect blood sacrifice. And the only perfect man was Jesus Christ. And he came to live, and he died on the cross. He shed his blood so that he might qualify to be your sacrifice. And then he didn't stay in the grave. The Bible says he rose up from the grave. He arose. He rose from the grave so that we might justify us, so that he might make us right with God. You must believe that. You got to admit that you're separated from God. Believe that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again. And finally, you must commit your life to him. You must ask him to come into your life, forgive you of all of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you want to make sure that you've got a personal relationship with God today, that you belong to him, why don't you raise your hand right where you are? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to be certain that you know, yes, that I'm a child of God, and you're not sure, quite sure or clear where you stand in your relationship with God, why don't you raise your hand and say, yes, I'm a pastor. I want to be sure. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Is there one who'll make that decision this morning? No looking around. It doesn't matter who thinks. You might be here and say, you know what, people think I made that decision, but I know in my heart that, God, I've never made you Lord of my life, and you want to make that decision today. Make that decision. Don't stay in your seat. Is there one who will make that decision for the King today? Won't you raise your hand right where you are? Second call. If you're here, you made that decision today, you can say, Pastor Dwayne, one of those points, one of those 5 points applies to me. As a man, as a husband, as a father, as a young lady, as a mom, as a single person, Lord, help me to be brave. And if I could be honest, Lord, I haven't been standing for you in the face of the flames as I should. And today I want to repent. I don't know what the area in your life is. I don't know what it is. But you're saying, God, I want you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my rebellion. And today I want to make the commitment to stand for you, trusting that you're going to be with me every step of the way. If you're here, you say, I want to recommit my life. I want to ask God to forgive me. You have some stuff you got to repent of and say, God, I'm ready to come clean and walk with you. I want you to make a bold step. I want you to come to the altar this morning. Come to the altar for prayer. Amen. If you're here and you say, listen, God, I got some areas in my life I got to move from, I want you to make a bold step. I want you to come to the altar. Is there one? Just going to give you all a heads up that we're not going to end this real quick. The Lord convicted me real bad this week, because he said, listen, you've been saved so long that you've gotten numb to my call on you. Call is going out sometime, and I stay in my seat, and God is tugging on my heart and saying, Lord, I know I could do this right from my seat. Yes, you can do it from your seat, but there's something about accountability and boldness that says, God, listen, I know I got some stuff I got to get right for you. I need to come to the altar. If that's you, you need to be here this morning. Is there one? Is there one who'll come today? I don't know what the situation is. It could be something in your marriage. You can say, listen, God, I haven't been standing for you. I haven't been brave as the husband as I should be. You need to be at the altar. Let's pray with you today. Is there somebody who'll come today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for being a God who's patient with us. Thank you for being God who loves us in spite of us. And we thank you, Lord God, you've gone through, like you go through everything for us, Lord. You are a relentless love that pursues and runs after us. And forgive us for being casual and cavalier about you. I pray, Lord God, that you will raise up a generation of people, that you'll raise up a church, God, that has such a heart for you that aches when we fall short of your glory. Lord God, cause us to hate what you hate and love what you love. Lord, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you. We thank you for being patient with us. We thank you for waiting on us. And God, you got a work that you want to do, Lord God. But you're waiting, Lord God. You said if your people are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray. God, you're waiting on repentance in us. You're waiting on us to come clean with you, God, for you to do some things in our hearts and our lives so that we can make an impact for you. Thank you, Lord. To someone else in need of prayer, say, listen, I need to come. I got some stuff in my life I need prayer over. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Move, God. Break the hearts of rebellion, Lord. Break yokes in this place, God, in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit, your anointing, your power, in the name of Jesus, God. Set free right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, God. Love you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. He's waiting on you. Thank you, Lord. He's waiting on you. He's a patient God. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, I want to be where you are.
where you are.
I gotta be where you are.
I wanna be where you are, God.
I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are.
Lord God, we ask that you raise up some brave people out of this place. God, break through that hard shell, that heart of stone that's here, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll make these hearts into hearts of flesh so that we might surrender to your will. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name.